Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to another great show of the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express Billy Taylor. And we are here for another exciting week. If you are a Jets fan, if you are a Giants fan, it's an improvement from the week before because they made it a game all the way until the very end. A few mistakes, which always happens or always seems to happen to a team that's actually playing in limbo. But I am excited. I'm glad they came back. They actually looked like a football team on Sunday night, and I was excited about that. I didn't turn the TV off like I had been prone to do in weeks previous. But BT, how do you think they played last week?
Well, I was impressed with everything. I really was. And the Giants defense played extremely well. My problem is that Josh Allen, the quarterback, the great quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, is up and down. One week he looks like Superman, the next week he looks like Robin. So a little bit different for him. And I think Brian Daboll, the former Buffalo Bill coach, knows the Bills really well and had a great game plan for them, both offensively and defensively. At the end of the game, they threw a pass to Darren Wallers, the big tight end, and I watched him get held and beat up and hit, and they didn't call a penalty on that. And I just don't know, should they have called a penalty? Because do you stop calling it? Like in the NBA, you don't call it at the end of the game sometime, you know? So I don't know if that's the question, because he was definitely interfered with before he went to the pass. But I thought that Tyrone Taylor did very well. I love Saquon Barkley being back. He ran with a little bit more in the fourth quarter. So, you know, there's hope for the Giant fans, but you got to start winning. You can't have these moral victories. I think now you need to be able to put some W's up there.
Exactly. And I will get, hopefully we'll have time later in this segment to talk about all the potential options if they do keep losing games this year, because they're going to have to start planning for the future. If they can't, they need to win at least 7 of their next 9 games. And the schedule is still tough. They're playing Washington this week and they play the Jets next week. And those are two tough teams, two teams that have been up and down as well, but have been trending upwards the last few weeks. So it'll be tough. But let's get back to this game. When you look at this game against Buffalo, I like the fact that they relied on the run game to set up the pass game. They actually threw the ball deep. I don't know whether it was because Tyrod Taylor was in the ball game or whether that was game plan, but Daniel Jones didn't see Daniel Jones throwing the ball as deep towards the last two games he was in. I don't think he threw one deep ball the last two games he was in that I can remember. And so maybe that was a change. Maybe Tyrod Taylor did add a little spark. He did run more out of the pocket, trying to create plays, kept drives alive, which unfortunately the last few weeks Daniel Jones was in the game, they didn't keep drives alive. So when you look at this team, do you think it's because of the quarterback, the play calling, or the lack of a run game?
We'll see. I think it's the lack of a run game because you have no play action pass if there's no running game. I still think that this sets Danny Jones back a little bit because, you know, people thought he was going to continue the way that he left off last year when they beat the Vikings in the playoffs and then lost to the Eagles later. They thought he was going to continue that, but he's regressed in my mind because even if the offensive line is not very good, I talk about it all the time, get rid of the ball, get your dump offs. The running back is always open in the flat or the tight end. You always have a hot receiver. He doesn't utilize it as much as he should. I thought Tyrod Taylor did a good job of taking what the defense gives. And he hadn't played in a long time. And you told me he hadn't won a game in a long time. And so I still think he's a capable backup. It's just that, you know, you need to do stuff. And I'm trying to figure if in the future, as we get going on games and Danny Jones come back, he's really got to step up because he hasn't had a good impression these first 7 weeks.
I totally agree. Given the team that they currently have, and you look at how other teams that may not have as much talent as the Giants, i.e. the Houston Texans, they're running the ball. They're not putting the ball game in CJ Stroud's hand and saying, go win me a game. Throw. This is not Joe Burrow, right? They're not saying you're Joe Burrow and I want you to throw 50 times a game. I'm going to run the ball, play action pass, and give you a shot when you need a shot. But I'm not going to ask you to win us the game every single play. And I think that's what the Giants are trying to do. Is they trying to say, oh, we had a great year last year. We got some good weapons. I'm just going to drop back and throw the ball 40 to 50 times. And that's not how you won last year. You won because you set the run. You relied on Saquon Barkley to be your beast and get those yards and get in manageable downs. You're not in third and long. And you didn't make mistakes. The other problem I find with this team is they shoot themselves in the foot. You see all the offensive penalties that yep. caused them to get, they were in the red, almost in the red zone on one particular series. And they had three straight offensive penalties that took them out of field goal range and they had to punt. And so when you make mistakes like that, especially given how flawed and how hurt beat up you are as a team, and you don't have some of your top players, you don't give yourself a chance to win.
Well, question for you also, Brian Daboll is a good coach. The last couple of weeks, he's probably gone crazy. But the week before, when Danny Jones threw a bad pass for an interception, he chastised him on the sideline. Now, I've seen Bill Parcells do it to Phil Simms, so I really can't get mad at that. But the way he did it to Daniel Jones, he kind of threw the clipboard down. And the other day, Taylor didn't really have good concentration on his timing at the end of the half. And they should have had a field goal. They really should, because he audible to a running play, and then Saquon got busted about the 2 yard line. They weren't able to knock the ball down. Do you think it's okay for Taylor, the coach, to yell at somebody during the course of a game? I mean, that's part of football. But the way he did it was so demeaning to me. I just figured I'd bring it up because you don't want the television to show that. You know, you're yelling at your quarterback. You got no other quarterbacks there. He's the only one that can help you right now. Is that good coaching?
I think from a new school perspective, it may not be good coaching, but from new an school, old school yeah. perspective,
it is. Yeah,
I mean that's what is it? That's the norm. That's what coaches did. If they didn't like something, they getting into your face. But new school of thinking, that's not the way things roll. But you got to know your player too. Good coaches know who they can chastise, who they can challenge, and who they can't. You see that. On the field, you saw that with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady going after one another. Yep. You saw that with Bruce Arians when he was the head coach of Tampa Bay. You saw that because he would challenge Tom. Bill Arians, Bruce Arians would challenge Tom Brady and talk about him in the media. Like, he played terrible. He played bad. We can't win when he plays like that. That's not a championship winning team. But certain coaches know who they can talk to. I remember looking at a story on the Oakland Raiders, and they were talking about the offensive lineman Art Shell, and how it was on John Madden, and John Madden knew who he could, you know, talk to harshly, or knew who he had to just walk up to and say, hey, look, this is what we got to do. I wasn't happy with that, but he couldn't yell at him. And that was Arshel kind of told me, was talking about the dynamic with John Madden. John Madden would approach Arshel and yell at Arshel because Arshel would just shut down and ignore him. And so it's just that I think these coaches get to know their players enough where they know who they can yell at, who they can't yell at, who they have to have a conversation with. But why are we having a conversation? Like, this is football, man. We got to go. And you got to understand, given Brian Daboll, coach of the year last year,
yep.
And the Giants are 1-6, you got to feel the pressure. He has to be feeling some pressure on himself. Like, you know, we brought you here to improve the team, especially after a year where you had no talent on the team. Yep. You supposedly this year you have better talent. You're supposed to be the coach to kind of send the Giants to the promised land, back to another Super Bowl, and you're not doing it. So I think some of that has to be pressure.
Well, see, pressure is what you make it, if you think about it. And sometimes he might be feeling it greater than ever because, well, his performance, Coach Daboll, the last couple of weeks has been kind of crazy. And you can tell he's mad. And I guess losing it, people do it in different ways. Some people get in a bad mood. Some people throw stuff. Some people do different things. So that's his way of dealing with it. When a player makes a mistake, he gets on them. And I really had no problem with it because I'm from the old school where I got chastised on the sideline many, many times for missing a block or fumbling or something like that. So I totally understand the frustration. But as you said, the new school people were doing something different. Now, I've heard a couple of rumors out there, and I'm just going to throw them at you also. They talked about the trading deadline is the 31st of this month, which is probably in about 12 or 13 days. Should the Giants trade Saquon Barkley? And I thought that was almost an ignorant thing to say, but then it made sense when they said, well, we can get some draft choices back and anybody can play running back.
Yeah, and part of that is true. I think
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
When you look at this entire team, you got Andrew Thomas, who I don't think will be ready. You've had hamstring injuries, right? Yep. You're a bigger guy than what we played at. Yep. And so it takes a lot longer for them to get back from a hamstring injury. Because that's all they're doing is using their legs to hold up and blocking. And so when I was kind of concerned when they allowed him to come back so soon from a hamstring injury, especially if it was a somewhat
serious
hamstring injury. You don't want to come back quick because all you can do is re-injure it even more. And a big guy like that is going to take him even longer if he re-injures it. And that's where we are. It's going to take him a lot more time for him to come back. And now they don't have their star left tackle to protect any quarterback, whether it's Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor back there. And so they game plan against a good Buffalo defensive pass rush last week where you thought he was going to be on his back every down, and which they made it respectable. They were driving the ball on them. And that has to do with a lot of different things. But when you look at the team as a whole, it's all about game plan. It's all about understanding your personnel and knowing that, look, you're going up against the Washington Redskins this week. Arguably, they have just as good of a defensive line as the Buffalo Bills and could be close second to what the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive defensive line is like. And so if you're not prepared to make sure that you're helping those offensive linemen, especially the offensive linemen that just came on the team, they just signed a practice squad guy that was on their team yesterday from the Eagles practice squad, and he'll probably be starting this week. And so, I mean, thank God for Justin Pugh, and he's been in the league for like 14 years. He was a first round draft pick with the Giants back in right after the Super Bowl, right? And so, the guy's been in the league a long time, and thank God for Justin Pugh because he's off the street. Think about it. He's sitting in his chair and he's like the savior offensive lineman for the Giants. And so it's just a whole lot of things. Getting back to your question about trading Saquon, if they don't beat the Washington Redskins and the New York Jets, if they lose both of those games, I think you start preparing for next year and doing the best you can to get the best draft pick you can.
Well, the bad thing is that I think Saquon is a popular person in the New York area. He's, he's really great for everybody, and anybody who would have him would be truly satisfied. So I think that they should not trade him because I think he could play a 3 or 4 more years and help who's ever a quarterback. I think my problem is getting Danny Jones back to where he was the year before. So, we'll talk about that more, but we'll talk about the Jets in a minute, Charles.
All right, that's good, and I'm looking forward to it. Jets are exciting, but we'll be right back to talk about the New York Jets. Obviously, they have a bye week. They had a great win. Aaron Rodgers is thinking about coming back sooner rather than later. A whole bunch of things to talk about the Jets. We'll be right back in a minute. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. You are watching us live on NFLAmedia.com or NFLAlumniMedia.com, or check us out on YouTube. And we will be there each and every week at 10:30 on Wednesdays. So check us out. We got a lot. Just got finished talking about the New York Giants and all of the things that they have to ponder in the next few weeks. Obviously, it could be a sell-off if the Giants don't win the next couple of games. It could be an opportunity for Brian Daboll to kind of rewrite history again and go on a long run to put them back in contention for a playoff spot. And Billy, just real quick before we hit the Jets, the NFL is – there is so much parity in the NFL, and there's really not a great team in the NFL. You know, the Giants have a chance to actually going like – 9-8 and making it into the playoffs if they can win 9 games. And
well, see, I think that you really can't make an assumption of it until you get to a certain point in the season. Right. I've always pointed to the halfway point. As after you pass the halfway point, then you see who really is the best. And I agree with you. The Giants do have a chance, but they got to get everything together. I get the left tackle, as you said. The quarterback situation's got to be ready. I remember Danny Jones hurt his neck about a couple years ago, and he missed the last 4 or 5 games of the season. I hope that's not the case, because this is something that's happened to him before. I think there's great parity in the league. You cannot tell me with a lot of gumption that who's going to make it to the Super Bowl. Kansas City made it last year against Philadelphia. Usually every year there hasn't been a repeat champion since the New England Patriots in 2003. So I think it's wide open, but it's great for the game. I was kind of shocked that two teams who are undefeated got knocked out of there, because I thought for sure somebody was going to be there quickly. But, and you're talking about, you know, we'll talk about it later, but the Miami Dolphins, they look like they're just fun to watch. And I think that's great for the NFL.
It is. And we're going to talk about it. And they have a great game coming up against the Eagles this week. So right. It's going to be some good football Sunday night. They're on Sunday Night Football. It'll be some good football, good stuff to talk about. But how about those Jets coming away with a win against the daunted, undefeated Philadelphia Eagles? Nobody had given them a chance. But let me tell you, all of the Zach Wilson's doubters are going back in their little hole. And I haven't heard a peep out of anyone saying Zach Wilson doesn't deserve to be the starting quarterback next week for this team. He is playing amazing. They are setting up his game. They letting Breece Hall do his thing by running the ball, finding a way to getting the ball. And what did I tell you the best thing for him to do as a quarterback to make the game easier? Just go look for Garrett Wilson. Whenever you can look for Garrett Wilson, just throw the ball to Garrett Wilson. And that's what he's been doing. He's been looking for Garrett Wilson. He's been targeting Garrett Wilson, and the game has become simpler for him. He's going through his progressions, though. He looks like a better quarterback. He looks like a different quarterback from 3 years ago. He looks like a different quarterback from 3 weeks ago. And so what do you contribute this change and how he's performed?
Well, what I looked at was that this is the last 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers on the sideline whispering in his ear. And I watched Aaron go over there and whisper something. And I think he was telling him to relax like he usually did all the time. And I just think that with Aaron's presence there, it's making a big difference because I see him getting rid of the ball quickly, not waiting for the offensive line to have to hold up all the time, and making good decisions. He's not as accurate as he should be because he threw behind a couple people, but he's going to the right person. You should never, ever throw into double coverage. And I get mad when quarterbacks think that they can do it. He's taking what the defense gives, and he's using his tight end more than he did, using his running backs more. And that's what good coaching and good football is all about. You utilize what you have and then try to compare it to what your team is doing. So I have to give applause to the Jets because, you know, I didn't expect this at all. I really didn't. For them to be Philadelphia the way they did it. And the thing that I have to say is that Jared Hurst, he went to a couple steps back. I mean, I watched his feet, his foot movement get really bad because he was worried about the Jets' rush. Now, the Jets got a better defense than people think, and they're putting pressure on quarterback. That Williams guy, they got two Williams brothers, one plays linebacker and one plays defensive tackle, and those guys are coming every time. And I could see why Hurts, you know, was looking at the line, but you can't do that as a quarterback because you got to look downfield and find somebody open. I think that was Hurts' worst game in a couple years, and I think the Jets had something to do with it because of their fantastic defense.
Yeah, I also think that their receivers, and I know they're beat up. They just signed the Eagles just signed Julio Jones. But when you look at the Eagles' offense, Jalen actually has been throwing to the right guy. It seems like the receivers though have been dropping the passes. They fumbled the ball. They created certain interceptions. I mean, some of that, what you can't blame Jalen for a lot of that took place in that game last week. The receivers didn't help him at all because whenever you saw Jalen break out of the pocket or move out of the pocket, they couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him. And so when you look at that, I see it's not Jalen's fault. It's the supporting cast around him fault not being able to do what they need to do to support what Jalen is doing. You look at these plays right here where he can break out of the pocket. He's finding receivers and they fumble the ball. You know, he's doing everything that they're supposed to do. And it's just that his supporting cast hasn't helped. I don't think this is Jalen Hurts' fault. It's the Eagles, the rest of the supporting cast around him fault.
Was it also too, the Eagles let their offensive coordinator go last year. I can't remember which team he went to, but
Indianapolis.
And I just think that may have set him back because you're coming in, you got to learn a new system, a new way of doing things. And I think because, you know, I didn't think there was no continuity from last year going to the Super Bowl. So and you listen to the Eagle players and they say, well, it's still early, which is true. And if they continue to get better from week to week and they rebound from this loss to the Jets, they can still be good. But the Jets have woke up the world, Charles. Everybody's talking about the New York Jets. They're not talking about the New York Giants. They're talking about the Jets. And that's a shame because when Aaron Rodgers went down, there's no way I thought they would be in this situation. I thought the Giants would be much better. But now people are showing what the Jets talk about is true. Great defense. If they had a quarterback, they could win. And they got a half a quarterback anyway. And they're 3-3.
That's right. It's really about the defense. And that's why I always say I'm sorry to kind of start talking about the Giants. I'm like, you got to the Giants have to start focusing on that defense and they have to improve defensively in order so that they can have a team that is led by the defense. Defense wins games. You look at the Miami Dolphins, right? You can have the best offense in the world, but I really don't think they have a chance against Philly because Philly's offense will destroy Miami's defense. I still don't have respect for Miami's defense. They don't have the tough. I don't think Miami's defense, despite how well they played in the past, I don't think Miami's defense can stack up against the Eagles defense, the Jets defense, or even Buffalo's defense for that matter, since we just started talking about the defense. I think you can't compare the defenses. And so I don't give Miami a chance to win the game next week. It's a bounce back game for the Eagles, despite the dysfunction that the Eagles are displaying. Their defense is just too – the Eagles' defense, no matter how many people are hurt, how many guys have gone down, their defense is – they're too deep on defense and they're too good on defense. But as far as the Jets are concerned, as long as they don't put the pressure on Zach Wilson to say, you got to win us the game, keep it in Breece Hall's hands, make sure Garrett Wilson is your main go-to guy in the passing game, and you have a recipe for success for the rest of the season, because you're letting your defense give you games, keep you in games. You're not losing the game by making mistakes, and you're letting your go-to players be your go-to players in Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson.
Well, what I like also is that as they go along, if the Jets keep it close until the fourth quarter, they got a chance to win. And they've done that almost in every single game they played, and then being able to win it at the end. I like them, the way they're doing stuff. And that's coaching. You know that, Charles. To being able to make an adjustment where you're running the ball more than you're passing. But I think it's going to come a time during the course of this year where Zach Wilson is going to be asked to win a game, because, you know, nobody plays great every week in the NFL. You just look at both, the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody has a bad game every once in a while. That's why they hadn't been any undefeated team since the 72 Dolphins. But I think that the Jets got momentum. If they can use this bye week to get better, get people well, because they didn't have Gardner, their number one defensive back, and the other starter was out. I just think if they can get those people back, you got to watch for the Jets coming down the stretch, man. It's going to be fun for us to watch them, but the bad thing is that, you know, it's going to make the Giants look worse if the Jets keep winning.
But you said it. You said they keep it close to the end of the game. Yep. Well, who does that sound – or what team does that sound like last year? It was the Giants. They kept it close towards the end of the game and always found a way to win at the end of the game. And this year, they're not doing the same. Now we're talking about the Jets doing that, and that's the success. That's the key recipe for a team that may not have the best talent on the field. You just want to give yourself a chance at the end of the game to win, especially if you're not as talented as the San Francisco 49ers, Miami Dolphins, or Philadelphia Eagles. You want to put yourself in position that if they make a mistake, I'm going to capitalize on that mistake, and I'm going to beat you. And that's what the Giants did last year. And that's what they're not doing this year. They're not even putting themselves in games. They did it last week. Hopefully it's a beginning. I think they can build on this. You saw guys step up. I didn't hear, you know what? Last week was the first time I actually heard Okereke K's name and on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Last week, putting him in position to make plays. And I think that's what they got to continue to do. And they'll have a chance. But these next 2 weeks are going to be tough. Don't mince any words. These next 2 weeks are going to be tough. They're playing against Washington, who you don't know what you're going to get.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And Washington, their offense surprisingly has been consistently okay. Yep. It's really their defense that hasn't held up as much as you would have liked it to hold up. And then the following week, they play the Jets. So who's coming off of a bye week, who's excited on a high and playing a terrible Giants. And they're not going to take the Giants lightly because they want to crush it. It's an in-state rivalry, and they want to be the boss of the town. They've been treated like a dirty stepchild for their entire existence. And they want to prove a point, and they're going to take every advantage to whoop the Giants' butt.
Question to you, Charles Way. Aaron Rodgers comes out without a cast. He's walking in regular shoes. He says he's more ready than he's ever thought he's going to be at this point. And Kevin Durant was the last one I saw with a bad Achilles tendon. It took him a year, but that's the NBA. Can Aaron Rodgers come back before the season's over? I mean, is the technology for sports medicine already to the point where possibly that could happen? It's done that for knees. I've seen people come back in less than a year from knees. Look at Hall of the Jets. He hurt it early. Now he's back to looking like himself. Can Aaron Rodgers come back early?
I think it's going to be dictated by how well the season is going. If Zach Wilson is continuing to play like he's playing the last 2 weeks, I think they're not going to – he doesn't need to be rushed back. I think he will be needed, like you said, as a quarterback. You're going to be asked to win games at the end of games on occasion, in which I don't know if Zach Wilson is ready to win games like Aaron Rodgers, but you're going to have to win games in the playoffs. And I think that's when Aaron Rodgers should be ready. Give him until January, the second week of January. He got 2 more months to get ready and hopefully come back. But if he's able to come back, let's go for it.
Well, I think it's going to dictate whether they go deeper into the playoffs or not. But I'm really kind of excited because, you know, they're playing exciting ball. They really are. And I love what you said about Wilson, the wide receiver, Garrett Wilson, because I would do the same thing. If he's anywhere near open, throw him the ball. If he's in single coverage, throw him the ball. Charles, you can take us to the break, man.
That's right. Well, you've been listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Bill Taylor, and Charles Show Me the Way. We've gone through two exciting quarters of the New York Giants and New York Jets football. We got 2 more quarters left. We're going to go around the NFL and talk about some worthy news that has been going on. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell just signed a new year agreement. He's getting paid $1 billion now instead of $100 million now. So we'll be right back to take a look at how much Roger Goodell is getting paid in as NFL commissioner. We'll be right back in a minute.
Charles, I got it. And we're back here on the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're here each and every week talking about the world of sports. We do it in 4 quarters. First quarter is the New York Giants. Second quarter is the New York Jets. Third quarter, it was winning any kind of information that we want to bring up. In the fourth quarter, we go around the NFL. And, you know, what I wanted to ask you first, though, is, you know, and we're going to get back to stuff. Who are the 4 best teams in the NFL? Because people are putting the Detroit Lions in there. And I think that's worthy. You know Dan Campbell. You played with him. You know what kind of guy he is. I think Detroit's got to be up there with Philly and San Francisco. So who's number one as far as the best team in the NFL right now? Well, McCaffrey might be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, no, after last week's game, you got to put Detroit up there. They got to be in at least your top three in the NFC, top five in the NFL, because they have consistently come out defensively and offensively and played well. Yep. Week in and week out. You can argue that they haven't really played the type of teams that the Eagles and San Francisco have played over the past few weeks. Even Kansas City and Miami have played tough schedules up to this point. Look at Detroit's division. The NFC North isn't very strong. You got Chicago. You got Minnesota, right? And the Packers, who are questionable with, you know, Love as the first year quarterback. So that division isn't very hard. But when you look at Miami, you got Buffalo, you got the Jets, and you can't just overlook, even though they're bad, you can't overlook New England. And then look at San Francisco. San Francisco's schedule hasn't been easy either, right? Even though they play in their division is a little weak. When you get the Rams, you got Arizona, and you have who's the fourth team?
San Francisco, Arizona, Rams, and there's one more in there somewhere.
Yeah, no. Seattle. And Seattle's been a tough out. So when you look at the different divisions and from that standpoint, San Francisco has an easier schedule. I don't know about the Eagles. Well, Eagles didn't play the Giants yet, but you got Dallas, who you don't know what you're going to get with Dallas. They look good 1 week. They look bad, terrible the next week. So Dallas is an enigma for me. And then you got Washington, who also is an enigma. Those are two teams that you don't know what you're going to get. You know, Ron Rivera, I like Ron Rivera as the coach, but come on, from a Washington Redskins standpoint, can you become consistent? You lose 6 games every year, then you win 8 games, and you lose. What type of team are you? Is that I'm asking you, Billy, is that coaching? Do you blame the coach for the, or is it personnel? What is it?
Well, you call them the Redskins. I call them the Commanders.
Oh, that's right.
But I questioned Coach Rivera a couple of different times, but they got Eric Bieniemy in there calling the plays. They got a quarterback named Howell that's really looking like he's getting better from week to week. Got a strong arm and really has a good mental part to the game. So I think it's going to be a come out thing for the Commanders next week. The Giants, it's a must win for them. Can they come through in the clutch against a up and coming a Commanders team? But another question I have for you, and I was looking at Tyreek Hill of the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if there's a faster receiver in the NFL because, you know, it's a certain thing that guys can get the ball deep, but can you run a pattern across the middle and take a hit? Tyreek Hill can take that hit across the middle and he can take it deep. And you wonder, how's people keep let them get open in the deep? They don't let him, he takes it. And you see the backflip he did with his camera the other day? I think that's fun NFL.
Yeah, no, him, I think he and Deebo Samuels have to be the two most exciting wide receivers in the game today. Both of them are similar. Both of them are small. I think Deebo Sanders is a little bit smaller. Bigger than he is. He's more of a – Deebo is – both of them are bullies. But Tariq is hurt when he tries to bully you. Deebo is dishing out the pain when he tries to bully you. You know, that's the difference. Deebo, I wouldn't want to stand in front of Deebo because he's like a little stocky type of guy who has a little bit more meat on his body and you're going to feel it. And when you look at Tyreek Hill, he's smaller. He's not going to be able to take that punishment and pounding like Deebo will give out. Deebo dishes out and makes you feel it. Tyreek tries to dish it out and he feels it. Right? That's the difference in the two. But I like both of those guys. Both of those guys are a joy to watch. And it's like when Michael Vick came on the scene, you had to see an Atlanta Falcons game because Michael, you wanted to see what he would do in that game.
Well, I've seen Tyreek Hill show me more speed on the corner than I've seen anybody in a long time. The safety had the advantage, and he beat the safety to the touchdown. And he has shown me that he's, you know, certain people, and you've seen them over the years yourself, Charles, who are faster in a football uniform than they are outside the uniform. I think Hill is like that. I mean, for some reason, he's got a gear that just there's a beep beep on it and just is gone. I would feel embarrassed as a defensive back to even, like, if he's out there and you're one-on-one with him, I'd be scared to death because the thing a defensive back worries about is getting beat deep, and he's still beating them deep. So I think the NFL's got a lot of good receivers, and it's going to come down to Tua in the stretch run. Can he stay healthy? Can he continue? I love the way he gets rid of the ball. He gets rid of the ball with less than 2 seconds, and he reads the defense well. And I think that's a big key. As a quarterback, has got to make the read like Tom Brady did, pre-snap read, be able to get the ball out quickly, and you got a chance to win.
So out of the five best teams, let's say Philly, San Francisco, Detroit, Kansas City, Miami.
Yep.
Out of those five teams, who's at the bottom of your pile?
I'm going to put right now I'm going to put Kansas City at the bottom. The only reason, because they're barely winning games. They win 17-9 or something like that.
But they're winning. But yep, they're winning games. They're tied for the best record in the NFL.
But everybody's tied. Lions, San Francisco, Philly, and Kansas City all have the same record. So I had to give somebody it.
I'm just not excited about Miami's. I don't like Miami's defense.
Yeah, but see, we're the new age, if you keep telling me. And I think we're the offensive age where you can outscore somebody 48-40. You know, I think that Miami's one of the teams that can put up, even when they lost to Buffalo, they put up almost 30 points in that game because Buffalo won 48-20-something. And I just think that it's going to be good when Buffalo goes to Miami to play in a few weeks, and that's going to really be a turning point. But I just think that those five teams, I could give any one of them a Super Bowl bid. Philly's not playing well, but they seem like they're going to get better from week to week. San Francisco's got some injuries, which I'm worried about. The top receiver and running back are out. And then, like I said, I think that Kansas City could sneak in there as long as they keep Pat Mahomes healthy. They got an opportunity. But like I said before, there's only one team that's made it back two times in a row since 2003, and that's the Patriots. So that means if that's true, then Kansas City won't make it to the Super Bowl this year.
And I have a question for you. Given that there are two main guys, like so there are two – Debo Samuels has been injured. He hasn't been out there a lot for San Francisco. McCaffrey won't be out there for another 3 to 4 weeks, if not longer.
Yep.
Now, will Brock Purdy – we said this about Zach Wilson just in our last segment. Will Brock Purdy start getting exposed for who he actually is, the final pick in the final round of the NFL draft? Will he be exposed because he doesn't have the talent around him that, or the supporting cast around him that's not allowing him to be the guy? He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. I don't think he's capable of being the guy. And now that he doesn't have the weapons around him that allowed him to do the things that everybody was making him out to be the next Tom Brady, I think he's going to be exposed for the type of quarterback he actually is. It does say something about having talent around you. And do you agree with that?
Totally agree. But I think he's already been exposed. When I watched the game last week, he was throwing behind receivers. He was inaccurate. The ball was slipping out of his hand. And I just thought it was the worst game I've seen him play. And if you were a person who had never seen him play, you kind of be shocked at the way he did it. He's going to have to show something this coming week, because he last week he threw interceptions. He threw bad balls. You know, he missed receivers that were wide open. And because they could have easily won the game. I mean, they should have won anyway on the field goal at the end, but the field goal kicker missed a 40-something yarder. I think San Francisco, they may not be in it very long if Birdie doesn't bring up his level up, because last week, and I don't like to see quarterbacks throw behind receiver, because the receiver's got to reach back. And sometimes that takes away your momentum. It allows you to maybe possibly get a hospital hit. And that's when, the quarterback lays you wide open. And I think that he did that last week. So this next week, we'll see if he can bring his level to a higher way, because without those two guys, offensive guys, I don't think they got a chance.
Yeah, and that's why, and if we have to rank those top five teams, given the injuries that San Francisco right now, not based off of how they're currently constructed, I would put San Francisco five in that group. I would even put Miami number four, and I would put Detroit number three, and Kansas City number two, just because they have Pat Mahomes. That defense, their defense, maybe not in the top five of defenses, but they've been playing well defensively. They've been doing enough to win games, and you still got Patrick Mahomes, and you got to put him two. I still put Philly one because, man, let me tell you, I didn't know how good A.J. Brown was.
Yeah, he is good. Yep.
I'm talking about that dude is a beast.
He is.
I mean, he got great hands. He's just snatching balls out the hand.
Snatching.
I didn't know how good of a receiver, and it's my fault. I was so down. I was like, A.J. Brown, he's not that great. But, man, the dude is legit. I think it's the other supporting cast that's failing them, and it's just hard. But I'm going to still keep Philly number one just because they still have all the components. Their defense is deep. Whether they got injuries, they're deep. Their defense is deep. They got still got a ton of offensive weapons, and no one can sack Jalen Hurts.
No.
Nobody. How many times you thought he was going to be sacked last week, and he figures out a way to get out and makes a good pass. Yes. If it wasn't for the receivers dropping the ball, they would still be running keeping the ball down the field. And so he had a bunch of drops, bunch of balls batted because the receiver missed it. So I'm putting the Eagles as number one on my top five.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I kind of agree with you, but they got to play it a little bit better. The thing about it is that they rotate their defensive line. Anytime you can do that and have the defensive guys come in well rested, then you're up against the beast. And I think that they can do that. The other receiver for Philadelphia, he came from University of Alabama, the number one draft choice, real light in the behind, maybe 180-something pounds. He missed a bunch of passes last week, and I think that hurt them tremendously. So, you know, we'll see. But what's coming up in the fourth quarter, Charles?
Yo, we're going to go through our picks, see if I beat you last week in our picks. We got to check on that again. We're going to go through the picks. But before we go to break, I just got to let you know, James Harden has not reported to Sixers practice since Sunday. So just to get our little NBA in there, you know, the NBA season starts Tuesday, right? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay, so when we come back next week, we'll talk about our predictions for the NBA season. We'll use part of the third quarter to talk about NBA, then prediction for the NBA season. But we'll be right back to talk, to give you our predictions for week number 7 in the NFL season. Stay tuned on NFLAmedia.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And you're watching us live on NFLAmedia.com. That's NFLAlumniMedia.com. Or on YouTube, video recorded. We are happy to hear everything that's going on in the NFL. We've gone through three quarters talking about the New York Giants, New York Jets. We gave you our best five teams in the NFL up to this point today. I picked the Eagles, and I tried to convince Billy to pick the Eagles as the best team in the NFL up to this point. Now we're going to go through week number 7, our first game, Jacksonville versus New Orleans Saints. BT, Jacksonville is on a roll. They look good the last couple of weeks. Since the New Orleans Saints haven't looked as good, I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Well, see, the only thing I worry about is Lawrence got hurt last week. He hurt his knee. And I don't know if he didn't practice all week. So if he don't play, I don't think they got a chance at all. So I'm gonna go with the Saints in this week's game.
Okay.
Go ahead. Our next one is the Falcons and the Bucks.
So on the schedule is Oakland and the Chicago Bears.
Oakland and the Bears.
All right.
The Raiders, they beat New England last week, and I think when a new coach comes in there, so that with Belichick's former, he knows a little bit about him. I think that's why the Raiders won. The Bears lost their quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be back, but I still don't think they're very good. With that in mind, I'm going with the Raiders.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I'm going with the Raiders as well. Next game is Cleveland and Indianapolis. Indianapolis has to be the surprise team of the NFL. No one expected Indianapolis to play as well as they played, but no one expected Cleveland to win last week either, and they won last week. And so that's a tough game. Even though they're in Indy, I'm gonna go with Cleveland.
Well, they say Cleveland has a top five defense, because if you think about it, when they won last week, they limited the offense to not very good. Plus, they got a couple of good pass rushers, and their defensive line is playing well. I'm going with the Browns on that one also. Our next game is the Bills and the Pats. The Pats are what Bill Belichick can do, but people are questioning his coaching ability because they said the team is not responding. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they can. This is a down year. They don't have the type of talent. I think because Bill has been so integral in the drafting process, they don't have the talent that allows them to compete anymore. And so this is an easy pick for me. I'm going with Buffalo.
Okay. Number 5, the Commanders against the Giants at Giants Stadium. The Giants' backs are against the wall. The Commanders are playing extremely well. Their new quarterback, Howell, is looking good. Former offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric, what's his last name?
Bienna.
He is really, really doing a good job of showing he should be head coaching material. I don't really know who to go with in this game because Commanders have looked good. The Giants have to win. They haven't looked good in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to go with the Giants anyway, only because I got my blue on today.
Yeah, I honestly think that the Giants – this is a game the Giants need to win, especially if they don't want to have the questions about blowing up. I don't think they, if they don't win this game, they may go 1-8 or 1-7 going in after the Jets week, going into the bye, I believe. But, you know, the problem is the reason why they had a chance to beat Buffalo, Buffalo stopped running the ball. They couldn't stop the run. But, I mean, every time Buffalo ran the ball, they were getting 5 yards a carry, and they stopped running the ball and started throwing the ball and letting Josh Allen do whatever he did, which was nothing in the game, and it kept them in the game. That's the same thing that happened when they played Kansas City. Kansas City didn't run the ball. They tried to throw the ball, and Pat Mahomes was throwing it to the other team. And so if the Giants can't stop the run, they don't have a chance in this game. They're playing at home. I'm hoping Washington is still in a malaise. But remember, Washington always plays the Giants well. I don't think the Giants have beaten Washington the last couple of years. I'm going to go with the Giants because they're home.
Because they're home. All right, the Falcons and the Bucks. Bucks are favored at home under Mayfield. But the Falcons got that running back who was drafted in the first round, and he's playing ball. He's balling out. He's making people think, well, maybe I should get a running back in the first round. They're changing the thought process on the running back, especially with the running back from Indianapolis Colts signing that 3-year, 40-something million dollars. He's going to open up for a lot of people. But I like the Falcons because I don't know, you know, about Mayfield. I just don't know. You know, from week to week, he's different too, like everybody else. And the Falcons, they're playing everybody well, and they're well coached. So
their rookie quarterback, the Falcons rookie quarterback Ritter, is actually playing decent, not well, but decent enough for them to be in games. This is a tough game. I haven't been impressed with Baker Mayfield at the quarterback position. He is doing what it takes to win the games. They are playing in Tampa. Tampa's defense is pretty legit. I think the second tier. It's a second tier defense. Since they're playing in Tampa, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay this week.
You're going with Tampa that game. Okay. The Lions against the Ravens should be a good game because the Ravens are looking like they're playing a little bit better. I think Lamar Jackson came through last week with their receiver Flowers. The bad thing is Odell Beckham looks bad. He really does. He's not playing well. He doesn't come out of his route. Looks like not even the same guy. So I'm going to call him a thief because he's stealing. So I'm gonna go with the Lions in that game because the Lions are good on both sides of the ball. They got an aggressive defense and the offense comes at you. Goff is playing his best ball of his career, so I'm going with the Lions.
Is it coaching or is it the quarterback? Because Lamar Jackson is stealing. You're talking about a thief. You're talking about a thief. Lamar Jackson is a thief because gosh, you're paying this man $40-something million a year, and he looks like, I'm talking about, looks like the same quarterback he was 3 years ago. No improvement, no substance. I'm like, he doesn't do anything that excites you. He does not do anything that says he's in the top three, which he should be.
Yep.
He's making a top three quarterback. So is it coaching because nobody's getting open and that's the problem? Or he can't see the open guy? There is an issue there. And it's either coaching, they need a new offensive coordinator to fix it, or it's him.
Well, they just got a new offensive coordinator, so I have to say it's definitely him. So you're going with the Lions in?
Yeah, I'm going with Detroit.
Okay. Steelers against the Rams. I think the Rams are playing extremely well. They got Culper, their top wide receiver, back, and they got a young rookie out there that's doing really, really well. The quarterback is playing well. McVay is coaching well. And I just have to go with the Rams because the Steelers have shown me zero from an offensive standpoint.
But they've been playing. The Steelers are always in games, though.
Yes, they are.
They week. And they come up with surprise wins. You like teams they shouldn't beat. They find a way to win. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, given that L.A. had a rough game last week.
Okay, the Cardinals against Seattle. I like the Cardinals quarterback, Dodds, but – seems like Seattle is playing well. Geno Smith, I've given him credit because I watch him play. He's taking what the defense gives him. He's not trying to throw into double coverage, and I like that. So I'm going to go with Seattle in that one.
Yeah, I'm going with Seattle as well.
That's a no-brainer. Now let's go with the Packers and the Broncos. I think these are two bad teams. Love hadn't shown me what I wanted to see. I wanted to see some love. He not showing me that at all. Matter of fact, they say sometime he brings them back in the fourth quarter, but that's only because the other team has already cashed it in. And the Broncos, they're just one of the worst teams in the league. I think whatever, I'm going to go with the Packers in this one only because the Broncos are worse.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's getting on Sean Payton. Sean Payton is having a rough season. I think it all stems from him talking about Nathaniel Hackett and that coaching staff. Yep. And I think he brought it upon himself. And so I'm going with
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm going with the Packers.
Okay. The Chargers and the Chiefs. Normally, I think this would be a good game, but I'm disappointed in the Chargers head coach because he's lost so many close games because of a lack of – he calls it something like they do in baseball. I forgot the word they use. It starts with the A. But I just think that he's not a good coach. The Chiefs are Andy Reid is still the guy. I just don't think the Chargers – have enough good coaching to win. I think that talent, because Herbert is really a good quarterback. They have good wide receivers. Defense is not playing well, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one.
I totally agree. I'm not a Chargers fan. If I could bet against them every week, I would probably pick against them every week. I'm just not a Chargers fan, especially after last week. Dallas coming in, they're a total dysfunction. I think the Chargers are even in more dysfunction than the Dallas Cowboys, and that's why the game ended up the way it ended up last week. So, obviously, I'm not picking the Chargers. I'm going with Kansas City.
Well, the game of the week for this week, every week there's some game of weeks. The Dolphins are going down to Philadelphia. They're both 5-1 to take on the Eagles. Can the Eagles bounce back? Can the Dolphins put up the big points they've been putting up against a stout Philadelphia Eagles offense? And it's a possibility, Charles, that the Eagles could have been looking ahead to the Dolphins because the Jets were 2-4 or something like that, or 2-3 at that time. So it's a possibility. You know, the mental game of that, easily they could have overlooked them. So your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the Eagles got a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball. They lost one of their linemen, one of their good linemen, offensive linemen last week. I don't know if he's going to be ready this week. And that kind of impacted how they held up against the pass rush. You saw Jalen Hurts running for his life. But I said, they didn't sack him. I don't care how much pressure he gets, he doesn't get sacked. And once he breaks the pocket, he's still looking downfield. He's not looking to run. He's looking downfield to throw the ball. And when he has to run, he runs for a first down. He reminds me of what Aaron Rodgers used to do to the Giants when he was at Green Bay. You get him 3rd and 11. And you go two-man to stop him from finding a receiver. He knows it's two-man and just runs it down your throat and just breaks your heart. And that's what Jalen Hurts has started to do. This is I love the Eagles' defense. I don't love the Miami Dolphins' defense. I don't know if they can hold up. That's a different – that the NFC East brand of football is different than the AFC East brand of football. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles instead of the Miami Dolphins, even though I would love the Miami Dolphins to beat the Eagles.
Well, I think I'm going to go with the Eagles in this one. But this is gonna give us more insight to if the Dolphins are good enough. If they're not, then it's going to really tell us something. I think another thing about Jalen Hurts is that he works out a lot. He's very strong because people put little hands on him. They don't stop him. You know, some quarterbacks, you touch him, they're going to be coming down. You got to tackle this brother to get him down. Our last game of the week is the 49ers against the Vikings. Can the 49ers come back? The Vikings have had a tough year so far. Birdie, the quarterback, I don't know if he's worthy of it, but he's got to show something this week against Minnesota. I'm going to go with Minnesota only because they're playing at home, and the 49ers looked so bad last week.
Yeah, you know, this is a game that Minnesota should win. They're playing in Minnesota. I think the Kirk Cousins may have a little bit of doubt in his own mind because he's been hearing about these trades. They already said he's not waving his no trade clause. So he knows he's not going anywhere. Hopefully that kind of reassured him that he's not going anywhere. Minnesota should win this game. I really want to see. I'm going to pick Minnesota, but I really want to see if San Francisco can step up and play the same way they've been playing. I think you can't put anything against Shanahan because he's going to run the ball. He's going to go back to those old days and try to run the ball with whoever is in the backfield. And that's what they used to do at Denver, following his dad's footsteps, where it doesn't matter who you are. We can put anybody in this scheme, and I guarantee you'll get 1,000 yards. Let's see if he can do that with San Francisco this week.
Well, it's going to be interesting, too, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, put San Francisco at the top, and because of their performance last week, they went pretty far down. And so every week is a journey. We're not to the halfway point in the season yet. We had a couple more weeks for that. And then after that, it really gets even tighter. So it's going to be fun coming down the stretch, CW. And, as, you know, if the Giants can do their must win against the Commanders, Jets have a week off. It's going to be interesting again, week 7 in the NFL. So Charles Wade, great job as usual. I got to thank Ben back in the studio. Ben takes care of Charles and I like he's our father because he does a great job making us sound better than we really are. So for Charles Wade, the showman, I'm Billy Taylor, this is BT Express. Have a nice evening, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.